Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Australia Day week for the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Body. How are you, mate?
I'm waving my flag. I'm hanging onto my flagpole as we speak, mate. How are you?
I actually have heard you that you like to hang on to your flagpole quite often. Let's move on. Can I just say to the viewers, you know, like Body and I, we have a little chat before we go on air. And today was probably the longest chat. I think we've already done an episode laughing our heads off before we've even started the show. Yeah, but I just want to start. I'm loving the interaction that we're getting on Twitter, Body, with people like they're enjoying our show, and I love that. You know,
I love the fact that they're enjoying it too. Yeah, absolutely. But this time we don't have a guest this week because we want to just sort of talk punchy about get to it with WNBL and NBL.
Yeah.
And let's start with ladies first. Anything that you got out of round eight? It was a pretty long round, given that it started quite a while ago because of COVID interruptions.
Yeah, it was a long round. Look, the one thing I finally got to see the Flames live. Okay, right. So I'd watched a few of their games, and I obviously, as you know, I commentated the Kings game versus Brisbane on Sunday, and the Flames were afterwards. So the couple of things I just want to mention, I love the fact that a lot of people stay behind. You could see that really picked up the Flames, their energy. They were outstanding in the first quarter. They were really good. That Perth Lynx team, they are massive. They are, mate, they are really good. They were really impressed me. Now, I know they only won by five, but I got it. That's two sides of it. One, the Flames, what's the right way? Because they haven't won games this year. But the best thing I can say is I love the way they played. They played hard.
Energy.
They know, energy. Perfect word. And, you know, like Shane's got them humming. And they can hit shots. They run. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's going to be hard to close out games because they're not big like a Perth team and they haven't got depth. But it's a three-year project, I know, because I've spoken to Paul Smith about this team as well. And they know this is not the year, but they'll build it over the 3 years. But, yeah, the Flames impressed me by what they did, but Perth impressed me by what they are. And they're going to be hard to beat, Buddy.
I'm more impressed by what Perth could be.
Okay, yep.
Good. Than what they are. Because when they lost here in Adelaide in their opening game, after they had led dramatically by double figures a couple of times, early and late in the game, and then to get overrun, they, at that stage, it was their first game, and they just looked like they didn't know who's supposed to do what yet. Their roles weren't as clearly defined as they're going to become. And in that particular game, everyone was raving about Marina Mabry, that she got 30, I think, in that game. She got 34, I see, against Sydney as well.
Yeah, she was unbelievable.
She took a hell of a lot of shots, though. And a lot of other good players in that team weren't handling the ball. And I thought, well, this is going to be the problem for this team, is that they got so much talent that, you know, one ball isn't going to be enough. So that's what they've got to sort out.
Well, that's interesting, because I remember you were saying that about the Flyers when, you know, we joked around and it's my team and everything, and you were like, sometimes an injury can help a team. And you remember they went down with a couple of players and then it just made it an easier rotation. So that's a really good point you make. But, you know, they were across the board. I liked them. Can also say Lauren Mansfield impressed me. 24 points. She's lefty, man. She's really good. I liked her. And of course, Shyla Hill is just, you know, she's another level. But that Lauren Mansfield impressed me.
Yeah, well, she's South Australian. That's where she impressed you. And when they lost...
Hello to Burger Boss.
Well, actually, Alex Gibbertoni from the Perth Lynx is related to the proprietors of Burger Boss.
Cha-ching! I love it.
Yeah, there you go. So, but I noticed when Adelaide played Sydney and won, after Shyla, the two big scorers or the big players were Morgan Yeager and Lauren Mansfield, both South Australians. So that's always interesting to me when a player doesn't or isn't playing for their home team or what will be their home city, when they play against that team, how often they have absolutely really, really good games.
You know, I remember many years ago, and I think it was either 95 or 96, and it was the first game I think I played against the Magic when Bruce Bolden was now playing for the Kings. And you all know Bruce, great mate. Yep. And I'll never forget, we beat them. Actually, it was in 96. Ironically, I think we beat them twice that year and they went on to win the championship that year. But anyway, so I remember we beat them and I just remember Bruce coming in and giving us all five and goes, nothing like beating your old team. Now, you add that tenfold from when you're born there. So I just never, because I obviously was a one club person, so I never had that. But it was just interesting when I saw Bruce with that, how much it meant. There's no doubt that's what it would mean. You look at Brad Newley when he goes to Adelaide. Yes. I mean, imagine these guys, you know, they love it. Were they when he goes to Perth? You know, they love it when they do that.
Well, Brad Newley had 10 points in the first half in the Melbourne-Adelaide game the last week. So, it just brings that out of your family, friends. That's actually when you're in your town. But they did this, Jaeger and Mansfield did this in Sydney. So it was just against the opponent.
Still you're playing. I hear you. So what else? What did you like about the NBL? That was my thoughts, obviously, on Perth and Sydney. What else do you like?
WNBL, what I really liked was the fight back from Townsville against Melbourne Boomers. Like, Boomers are beating them by 20 points, Brad. Yes. Like, they're sitting on a man. They're doing it pretty comfortably and cruising to a big win. And suddenly Lauren Nicholson sort of says, no, I don't think we're going to let that happen. Mm. She has a 16-point second half and absolutely inspires her team to come from nowhere, reel them in, and win the game. You know, it was a terrific performance from her, but a terrific performance from that team, and said volumes, because they were backing up after a tough game against Bendigo. It's a 10-point win, but it's a tough game. They were backing up against that to play Melbourne. Melbourne was, you know, sitting there and waiting for them. So
they're well coached. He's good, Shannon.
He's a South Australian. I don't know if you noticed that.
Jesus, this is a South Australian show.
Australia Day week. We're going to be proud of where we're from.
Geez, all we need is a lamb on a spit now and we're done. Hey, I got to be honest. What did you think with Townsville losing Shyla? Like, she was such a big part of that team last year in their run to the grand final. I'm thinking, oh, geez, I'll be interested to see how Townsville goes this year. They're all really good.
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, Zatina Okuso is a pretty good player, and she's had some knee issues in the past, and now she's
17 on the weekend or something. She was good.
She's sort of getting back to where you expected her to be, and their imports are pretty decent. They got that Steph Reed bringing the ball up the floor. They're not a bad side. I mean, you expect you lose a player like that, you're gonna go down a little bit. But I think they picked up in the import area. They improved there. So, no, they're definitely in the mix for the top four, no question at all.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Now, we've got eight games.
Do you see? Can I ask, do you see, like, I mean, at the moment, it's Lightning, Lynx, Boomers, Fire. You'd have to think that you know, the Capitals and Flyers are going to make a run. Like, what do you think? Where's this? I mean, the Spirit and Flames obviously are well behind at the moment. Do you see much change?
Honestly, I only have Perth and Melbourne.
Right.
As sort of penciled in sort of, but, you know, like.
Well, this is great. Really, that's what you want, though. That's what you want,
I mean, you can't write off a South side when they've got everybody back and everybody's healthy. You can't write them off. And the same for Canberra. I mean, I'm still a little disappointed with the whole situation with the Canberra Capitals, but I don't want to get into that too much. But given that they missed a few games due to COVID, Paul Gorris' suspension was laughable. They've got a game coming up against Sydney this week. And I still think that game should be awarded to Sydney, that first game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Couldn't agree more.
Canberra
couldn't agree more. Yeah,
under,
no, 100% completely right.
What should we say?
I'm going to run through the games and I want you to tell me who you think is going to win. We're recording this. Obviously, this game would have already been played. So it's Bendigo Sydney because they play tonight. Okay. So who do you think?
Well, let's skip it.
Okay, good. Right.
But I've got to say, before we do, Annalee Maley, 24 rebounds against Townsville, 18 points and 24 rebounds. Yeah. She is a rebounding fool. And, you know, it's like people say, well, she's a one-trick pony. You just got to box her out. Well, I've said this before. So was Mark Davis. He was a one-trick pony. Box him out. He's still.
Yeah, I remember everyone used to say to me, just make Ricky Grace go right.
Just because you know what their strength is doesn't mean you're capable of taking it away.
Nah, he's only really got a left, Ricky Grace. Just make him go right. Jeez, mate, six championships later or five or whatever he's got, and he can dribble right better than he can probably bloody dribble left. No, that doesn't work, coach.
No. So anyway, I like what she's bringing to Bendigo. I would like to think that Sydney could maybe have got an upset there, but that's just, you know, I just like the way they're going about it. As you said, their heels got them humming. They're hammer hummers at the moment.
Oh, boom, boom. Like it. Okay,
let's move on.
Southside versus Perth.
Southside Perth. Oh, look, it depends who's fit to play. I think Perth Under normal circumstances, I'd be picking Perth. But these normal circumstances being that General Hayes out, Sarah Blitzarves is out, you know, that there's a bunch of players out from Southside. If they had their full team, well, then I'd revisit that.
I can't go Southside with the two players they got out. I just personally can't do that. I love them, but I think they win that with obviously everyone. In their Capitals are Flames.
Now, hang on. Listeners, you can't see Brad at the moment, but I can. And when he had to confess then that he couldn't see Southside winning, there were tissues taken to his eyes. It was a pathetic moment, really. All right,
I'm glad you said tissues. Capitals, Flames.
I think we've got to go Capitals because, I just think we do.
I hope Townsville, the Flames win just for the sake of what happened in game one. Anyway, Townsville, Adelaide.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, at Townsville at home. They beat Adelaide and Adelaide. I think they'll beat Adelaide in Townsville.
Perth Bendigo goes against Bendigo. Perth. Now, can I ask, have you heard, can Perth go home? Oh, no, that's in Ballarat. My mistake. Forget it. Sorry. You Perth to win that?
Yes. They're feeling very comfortable.
And then, geez, Sydney Uni Flames, they've got a number of games playing Southside. That's going to be tough for them, playing so many games, coming home, playing on Sunday after Kudo, another one for the Kings.
They just need a breakthrough, Brad. If they got Bendigo or if they got Canberra, well, you know, I think they'll be on their way. You've got to favour Southside because they're the champs, but I'm not saying that with any confidence because, again, you just don't know with the COVID situation who's actually suiting up for the game.
Yeah.
Adelaide, Canberra, I like to think at home that probably the Lightning will get that.
Yep,
and Townsville, Melbourne, well, that'll be epic given what just happened last round. Mm. Up there in Townsville, I expect Melbourne to win that because I expect Melbourne to be so aggravated by the fact that they let Townsville off the hook. That's how they'll view it. Townsville won't view it that way.
Of course.
Townsville will go, hey, we caught you, we beat you, and now we got you at home, we'll get you again. So that's going to be a really good game of basketball.
Well, that's a good round of WNBL. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I'm, that's a wrap.
Okay, let's talk NBL and what stood out for you in the last round in the men's comp?
Again, you can just see teams were coming out, certainly teams like Brisbane and Adelaide, where, again, their legs weren't around. But that surprised me because Brisbane had played prior to that, but that's a separate. Yeah. Just enough where I'd just say teams are starting to get their legs under them, and thank God, because there was probably a week there where it was like, who knows what's going to happen. So I feel I look back at it and I don't think there was major upsets, but I can look at that and go, probably one that stood out was I didn't expect Perth to thump Illawarra like they did.
Well, you know, this now raises a question mark about Illawarra's bona fides as a championship contender, not as a playoff contender. Now, I wrote in at my blog that this is a better team than they had last season, and last season they made it to the semi-finals, so you'd expect this team to go a little bit further. But they've been really, really been exposed by Melbourne and Perth, our grand finalists, and their two regular, you know, top teams in the NBL. They've really been exposed and exploited by those teams. Mm. And I think they go very hero ball one-on-one in late game situations. And I just, it's worked here and there, but now it's not just Tyler Harvey doing it. It's Xavier Wrathan-Mays does it as well. And, you know, it's like, if you're not going to move the ball around, let's fast forward to the Adelaide game. Mm. Illawarra, moving the ball around. Harry Froling, 8-3-3. Out of 10, he nailed. Sam Froling dominating on the inside. Like, everybody's more actively involved. You've got a really good look in Illawarra. When we go back to the Melbourne Perth games, and the guys think, well, I'm going to take it upon myself to win this game, they don't look so good. So that's, I mean, it's early in the season. It's, you know, Gorge's got plenty of time to sort that out.
You're 100% right. My response to that would be is that I just felt they were playing really well at the beginning of the season. They would then always, and I've seen this happen a number of times, even when I was there with Gorge, there's a couple of times that'll happen. They're good, but they've got so much to work on, and sometimes winning covers that up.
Yes.
And you just need those losses to be able to go, right, are you ready, boys? Right? Yeah. You know, like, you're done now? Okay, so is the shit ball over? Can we start playing now? You know what I mean? And it's sort of so I agree with you. It's now, this is where Gorge is at his best. He had him frothing at the mouth last night when they were playing against Adelaide. Yeah, they were frothing. They were ready to go. So that's the Gorge special, Adelaide. But you're right. I do agree with you, what you're saying.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, too, though, in fairness to Illawarra, and in fairness to those players, It's really hard at the minute to get any kind of momentum going. Terrible. Because you just don't know whether you're playing or not. Like, there's a couple of games cancelled in this round that we thought we're on our way now, and bang, a couple of games get called off.
You know who I reckon? I mean, obviously New Zealand not living at home, but you know who I reckon the biggest one, in my opinion, this will affect? Tasmania. They had all that hype. They had all that ready to go. The city was behind them, you know, everything like that. And just not to play for a little while, it's taken the air out of it. For me, maybe not in Tasmania. I'm not living there. I can't get there. Do you know what I mean? But I just felt sorry for them because they were having that roll on where they were playing so well. And I'm sure they'll get back to it. But I just felt sorry for them, for a team that didn't deserve bloody the COVID situation. Yeah. It's a brand new club like them. And I just loved what they've done this year. Everything is a tick of the box.
Yep. But in fairness to them, and this is fairness is something we're trialing through the month of January, Tasmania, the fans are still coming out. They had 4,300 odd there for the last game against Phoenix. So the fans are certainly on board. Whatever they've done down there to sort of keep fostering the promotion, the publicity, they're doing with kids in schools, all that sort of stuff, whatever they're able to do given your COVID restrictions, it's working.
Yeah,
That's the best part of it, is that it is absolutely working. And we were talking off air before, Brad, that Tasmania are actually allocating numbers to their players.
Yes, they are, which is I'm pretty sure it's Clint Steiner will be number one. He was the first one signed, and they're doing that. A lot of people use it as the baggy green situation, because we all know the Australian cricket team and cricket worldwide, they do that number. I love it. I think it's really good. I think it's and as a player, I love it because, you know, it gives you a number. But yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, Sydney Kings are endeavouring to do it.
Yes, that's got announced this week. Yes.
I saw the I don't mind the idea, but I think to start it this late, this long into the journey, it's going to be hard to sort of get the numbers right. When I saw Steve Carfino at one, I thought, well, okay, so therefore you're starting when the Kings started in 88. You're ignoring the Supersonics history. And with all due respect to Steve, how does he qualify as number one? He was the last player signed for that team.
Yeah.
So how is he number one? Like Damien Keogh, Ridlin, or Dalton?
Yeah, Tim Morrissey, something like that. So I know what you mean, and I feel for the club in a little way here, and this is coming from a sort of player, because I think no matter what you did would be really difficult, because there's a lot of history that, you know, I think, well, there was no computers back when it started. Do you know what I mean? And if there was, it's not like it was today. So I just feel sorry. All I can say is, as a former player, I love it. And the reason I say I love it is I've been told I'm number 34. Okay, so I'm going to be the 34th player signed by the Kings. And for me to be able to say to my family, you know, I'm that number 34, and now for generations forever, anyone that signs with the King, I think there's 220 players now, something like that.
Something like that,
I love the fact that I have got that number, and my kids are already, you know, calling me 34 and things like that. And
Hang on, Brad. So it doesn't bother you that you could be 32?
Not a bit.
Or you could be 37. Right.
It would not bother me one bit. Right. If I'm 33, I couldn't care less. You know what I mean? Is it right? Is it wrong? Don't know. I've seen the list. I see how they've done it. And it all looks, you know, what I can say is it all looks right. Like, it's not like someone's before me that was in the team after me. You know what I mean? So, so I'm looking at that. Like, I mean, I look at after me, I can see that the one signed after me was Isaac Burton and Shane Heal. Right now, I know, because I signed in 95 as a replacement for Phil Smythe, where then in 96, Isaac and Shane came. Right. So for me, no, it does not bother me a bit. And personally, I love it. And I feel pride to be able to give him the number 34.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Again, I don't mind it as a concept. I just find it difficult to understand how you can really allocate a number.
So then let me ask you this.
Hang on.
How did you just not do it?
No. But how does Steve Carfino come in at one?
Yeah. So my understanding of what they've done is, because it's hard with the history because they don't know everything, right? Which is fair enough. My understanding is the way they've done it is that if you are a starter in that team, so let's use 98. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So there's five starters in that. 88. Sorry. Yeah. There's five starters in that 88 team. Then they did it alphabetical order, because their words are, I honestly don't know who was the first one to step on the court. Is my understanding, by the way, this is not confirmed, but my understanding is, well, who stepped on the court first? Because that's in theoretically how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually a matter of who signed body. My understanding is it's when you step on the court. Isn't that right?
So then, right. So then the first sub of the first game should be number six.
Well, no, it's because all five stepped on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
So those starters are all on the court at the same time. So how do you differentiate which five?
Because whoever touched the ball first.
Oh, yeah, right.
So,
but you
so
see what
center,
I'm saying?
Who was the centre man? Was that
Mark
Richards? He should be number one.
So what you're saying is the referee is actually the number one.
That's my point, Brad. You see how difficult it is?
It is. It's very
actually,
difficult.
You know,
because you are actually signed, well, not signed, you are actually put in the team. It's like the cricket team. If you're 12th man, you don't get a number. I don't think you get to that. I think it's only when you're in the 11 or something like that. But it's like what I'm saying with NBL. You don't actually get recognised as a game in NBL until you get on the court.
Yeah. Not even that. I think you have to stat. Maybe it's now it's on the court. But back in the day, you had to stat. So you have to get a foul or you have to do something. Because in the early days, when they weren't doing full stats, you know, it was sort of like if you didn't get a foul or you didn't score or you didn't get to the free throw line, The score sheet didn't show you was actually playing.
Well, just so you know, I think I knew that. So every one of my turnovers that I had in the NBL, it was so that I could get a stat. I wanted to make sure my numbers are
up. Brilliant strategy.
But I'm serious. That's what it's like, you know, if that's what it's going to be. So that's why I think Carfino's first. And I got to sit here and go, well, I guess I can get that. Because it's not if you're signed is my understanding. If I'm wrong, viewers, let us know. Right. Let's talk this round. I'm going to go and I just want winners. Who's got starting Illawarra Perth, a rematch. Who you got?
Look, I think I still have Perth. I don't.
No, I'm going Illawarra to bounce back.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are. You've got a bromance with Brian, but
I don't know if you know. Did you know I was an assistant coach?
Oh no.
Moving on, Tasmania, Adelaide.
Was that when he was coaching Boleyn Boomer's girls team? Sorry, what was that one? Tasmania, Adelaide.
Yeah, me too. Cairns, Illawarra. In Cairns, I'm reading home venues first, obviously.
Cairns, upset.
Oh, nah, Hawkeys. Brisbane Southies.
Hey, I got Brisbane to beat Illawarra a couple of weeks ago. So they don't go through undefeated. You've got to pick that one where they're vulnerable.
Yes. Speaking of that, Bullets versus Phoenix.
Oh, jeez. That's a tough one. That is such a tough one.
Yep.
Can
I just add Bullets' first game after the Sydney loss?
Oh, is it? All right. Well, let's go with them bouncing back.
I thought that's what swayed, because that's what's swaying me. Adelaide at home versus Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah. Kings at home versus Perth. Tough one again after playing Illawarra. I know what you're going to say to me. I need to see that Illawarra game before I can make a decision.
Yeah.
I know you're right. You're right. And it is true.
This is really hard because, again, I don't think Sydney's going to never win another game. So and that they're only going to beat teams below them because there aren't that many below. Mm. So they're going to get somebody. And why wouldn't you think they could?
Heart says Sydney.
Of course.
But Perth, mate, Bryce Cotton loves kudos. He loves kudos.
Don't we all love a few kudos?
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Rounding off. Who'd you got? Come on.
Perth.
Okay. Last one. New Zealand, Tasmania. In Tasmania, but a New Zealand home game.
So in Hobart?
Correct. My state arena. Okay. So it's in Hobart. Sorry, okay. I said in Tasmania.
But I thought last year they were playing their home games, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Launceston. So I don't know why.
You're right. Well, this one's in my state. My State Bank Arena. So, yes, I'm going to go New Zealand there because I think they'll have.
Likewise. I think they've turned the corner.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for people to start worrying about them.
I agree. Okay, come on. Give me your nod nasty.
Jeez. Oh, well, look, it's just because you're watching a lot of these games on TV, you're hearing a lot of the commentary, and there are just things that happen in the commentary that are just so obvious and happen all the time. There's such cliches. I'm so sick of it, Brad. I'm so sick of it that if someone comes and hits two shots and then comes down and jacks up a piece of rubbish that we say, oh, yeah, he's having a heat check. okay, well, maybe you just took a bloody bad shot and you should say, well, that was an irresponsible shot to take. How about saying that instead of, oh, heat check,
well, yeah, but you know what? I'm not sticking up here for my commentary boys. You know, I'm not going to do that. But it is a heat check. That's what players do, mate. You think about it when you're a player and everyone's like, I've just hit two. Yep, I can have another one. I've got a free swing. Yeah, I've got a free swing, right? And that's a heat check.
But you see, what I don't like about it is that it's almost like compulsory to say that. Oh, he's guy's taking a bad, jacked up a bad shot. Here we go. Oh, he's having a heat check. Ha, 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 guffaw, guffaw. You know, but then he's got the green light. There's another one. He's got the green light. So, yeah, it's okay that he did a heat check because he's got the green light. Ah, come up with something new for God's sake. That's just me. Just me. Brad, a rattler. We need a Rosen rattler before
you know what? I'm going to go Brisbane. And the reason I'm going to go Brisbane is I love the fact they were down 31-15 in that first quarter. And we've been saying this, buddy, teams have just been sitting off. You know what I mean? Oh, I'll wrap my, oh, you know, shut up shop and we'll go to the next game. Right. Yep. Nathan Sobey inspired that team. He was unbelievable. Right. Yep. And he was brilliant to be able to then get that team, obviously an ejection. Right, that didn't help the equation. That injection on Xavier Cooks.
Ridiculous.
But then for Brisbane to bounce back and on, you know, Nathan inspiring them to do what, and then obviously decimated Brisbane to King's fourth loss in a row. I just love the fact that they came back. And ironically, wasn't it? It was a 31-15 first quarter to Sydney, then a 31-15 fourth quarter to Brisbane. But credit's got to go where credit's due. They could have shut up shot. And congratulations to Jason Kelly. Was that 500 threes?
Because I don't want to get mixed up with Tim Conrad's 400.
Well, that was 400 for Illawarra.
For Illawarra,
which he's only ever played for Illawarra, because I know Timmy Conrad, I think he's the fourth highest now. So there would have been Matt Campbell, Sav, Oscar Foreman, and now him.
Great.
Congratulations to Jason. That's massive 500 threes for a guy. It was in a car accident and nearly did.
Oh, you know what? We forget about how horrific that was and what an amazing story he really is.
Yeah, we should get him on, actually. We need to have a chat about that with him.
That's a bloody good idea.
Yeah.
Now, just quickly, though, going on from that, then Brisbane go less than, 48 hours later into Sydney and get their heads handed to them.
I know.
Which tells me something about Sydney and also tells me something about Brisbane, and what it tells me about Brisbane isn't good. It doesn't light you up thinking, yeah, they'll be around in the final four. It doesn't give you that thought whatsoever.
Do you feel this has been Brisbane a little bit over the last few years, where they're just so hard to predict? Because it feels like you and I sit here and, you know, like they played so well on that Friday night to condemn the Sydney Kings to their fourth loss, right?
Yep.
And then it seems like you and I have sat here a number of times going, which Brisbane's going to show up?
Exactly.
And that's what it's happened again.
Yeah.
But you've probably said that for a number of teams, mind you. But yeah, it's just.
Well, I mean, you can say the same thing for Sydney, can't you? In the reverse.
You can also say
the same thing for Adelaide.
That Tyrell Harrison, that looked bad.
Right.
That shoulder injury. So I commentated, and he did not carry that into the game. And he looked like he could not move his shoulder. But as in, when he was walking off, he looked in a lot of pain.
You know, I was shocked, with all due respect to Tyrrell, when that coverage began. And there you were. There was your head on the TV. Brad Rosen is back, baby, and taking up just about the entire screen. Good thing I've got a widescreen TV. It's massive. You're talking. You haven't even had a shave. Jeez, come on.
What do you mean haven't had a shave? That's the new look, body. Look, my wife. That's called the growth look for TV, body. That's what my wife says. You look great.
You were good. It was good to have you back.
Ah, thank you, mate. I love it. It's so much fun. And you know what it's like for me. You do that for nothing. You just love it. I love being involved in the thing. You get there and just see everyone, and it's a great crew to work with. So yeah, it's good to be around.
All right, we covered a lot of territory. Let's get out of here.
All right, no worries. Thank you. Good everyone. Thank you. And can I just say to our major sponsor, Burger Boss. We love you. And just so everyone, we've had some stuff on Twitter. We don't want to forget about Matty Hodgson. Can't help myself. Bad habits. Sorry, I just had to get one in there, buddy.
You know,
happy Australia Day, mate.
Happy Australia Day to you too. And Billy Fields is going to have a revival of that song now. We've played it so often. Okay. Take it easy.
Absolutely fantastic. Everyone, have a fantastic week. how good was it, Boddy, to see people writing back on Twitter and talking about that Matt Hodgson song? How fun is that? I love that, mate.
Yeah, I think everybody likes it except for maybe Matt Hodgson. So just you know, maybe we don't ask him on in the near future. We let it settle before we ask him on as a guest.